Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional continuing sovereignty of all First Nations people right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you, and welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, what a day for Queenslanders, and what a day for the South, the Rabbitoh supporters. Hey, two big events over the weekend for me as a Rabbitoh supporter and a black fella. The Rabbitohs won the New Zealand Nines. It was fantastic. That was great. That was great to see. Into extra time and all sorts of things, and they come out on top. And then, of course, the other big event was watching that little arrogant so-and-so that was the premier of this state getting the boot put under his bunty, and out he goes. I was watching that the cross or the discussion, the count and stuff on the TV, and the way they had that boot coming. Oh, well, boot this one and boot that one. And to see that bloke get the boot, oh, it just made my day, made my weekend, it did. So Campbell no longer the Premier of Queensland. So it's a good result. And to talk about, well, the better result, the other great thing about watching it all was to see two First Nations people elected into the Queensland. Hopefully they will take government. They'll get the seats required, and even if it is with the assistance and support of an independent, that the Labor Party will take government. But what a massive swing, a massive outcome, and to see Leanne Enoch take Elgester and Billy Gordon take the seat of Cook in far north Queensland, Leanne Enoch being the first First Nations woman in state parliament here, being elected into the state parliament, and Billy Gordon being the second man, because the first man was that old man, Uncle Eric Dirrell, passed away only a year or two back, or three. He was a member for the Nationals, and he was actually, that was back in the late 70s, early 80s. I'm not sure, Billy may know. Anyway, let us welcome Leanne Enoch first up. Well, Leanne, how are you? Welcome to the program.
I'm fantastic, Tiger, and thanks so much for having us this morning.
Oh, where else could I go but to get you and Billy on here first up? I mean, this is just amazing, the outcome. But first of all, tell us your mob, your country.
Yes, so for all your listeners, I'm a Noonuccal Noongee woman of the Kondamooka Nation. I'm very proud to say that today. I'm also the new member of Parliament for the seat of Elgester.
Oh, how deadly does that sound? How deadly does that sound? Your second attempt running as a candidate, but the first attempt was for another seat closer to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
What was that seat?
Yeah, yeah. So that was back in 2009. I had the opportunity to run as a candidate for the seat of Coomera. Learned a lot of things about politics and campaigning and how it all works.
Good one. Mm-hmm.
So just so fortunate to have the opportunity to, represent the people of Elgester now. And, I've got to meet, over the last 8 months I've been a candidate, I've got to meet thousands and thousands of people across the electorate who have been just so generous with their stories, encouraging, supportive, and have been very passionate, actually, about how they feel or how they felt now about the LNP government.
So, yeah, that's great. So that was a practice run for you, right? The seat of Coomera was a practice run.
Yeah.
And now you
like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now you've gone in and really given it a good shake, knowing what what you had to do.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
fantastic. And we've also got Billy Gordon that has been elected into the seat of Cook in far north Queensland. Bill, again, a massive achievement. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us here today to talk about your the trials and tribulations, the challenges of standing for a seat like Cook, or for any seat rather, just to be a candidate and coming out on top as a winner. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us, mate. It's just great. Congratulations.
Morning, Tiger. Morning, sister. Look, first of all, thanks very much for having us on. And, yeah, it's, it's been a whirlwind 48 hours, feeling a bit tired, but there's a lot of jubilation and excitement and a lot of pride, actually. Pride in probably what we've achieved and the way we ran our campaign. And, you know, I think Leanne can concur. We probably never thought we'd be in a position to form a government, but it looks like that's the path we're going to be heading down. A resounding victory, but, I think it's a referendum on a federal government that's probably mirrored, I think, the attitudes and behaviours of a state government over the last 3 years, where they've got everything to teach people and nothing to learn from people.
Mm. Yes, certainly. Those boys and girls in Canberra would be worried under the Abbott leadership and where they're sitting at the moment. They'd be very worried. But Billy, first up, tell me your mob, your country.
I look, I'm a proud Barbara man from up in the western Atherton Tablelands, up behind Mareeba. My mother's people, my father's people up around from Old Marpoon, and around Normanton, up in the Gulf of Carpentaria. Far North Queensland. Born in Ennisfail, a bit of growing up in Far North Queensland, particularly around Mareeba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did you decide you wanted to give politics a shake? Is it something that you've been doing for a while, involved at a local level, or what's your story there?
Well, I joined the party in 2008 out at Mount Isa when I was working and living out there. Always been a Labor supporter. And I think I learned from a very early age, seeing my railway worker and father and cane cutting grandfather struggle when it comes to, earning a living. My grandfather grew up in Australia, and it wasn't too good to be a blackfella in the country, And he had it tough. He was his labor all his life. He finished his working career, tin scratching, tin mining up around, a place like Herbert and up around the Western Tablelands here. And I saw from a very early age how, the lack of workers' rights, or the rights of workers, affected him and his ability to get a job and get the proper, wages that he deserved for the hours of work that he put in. So I think, from a very early age, I started having a bit of a value match between that, what I saw as an injustice there and what the Labor Party stood for. But I put my hand up because I thought, Labor need good people, My grandfather said to me one day, he said, when you see something you care about, turn into crap or whatever, you guys are going to do one of two things. You sit on your backside and you whinge your plane, or you get off your backside and you put your hand up and get your hands dirty and trying to be the change you want to see. And, some people become dentists, some people become, childcare workers, some people become teachers, and that's how they contribute to society. And I decided that this is how I wanted to contribute to society.
What were you doing leading up to the elections? I mean, to pay your way, to earn a crust. I mean, what have you been doing for the last year or so?
Over the last 2 years, look, obviously, some people may know I contested the federal campaign in 2013 for the Labor Party in the seat of Leichhardt. And up until, I think about 6 months out from the campaign, I was working for regional airline SkyTrans up here in Cairns. And, there I was a community relations manager around the state. But in the lead up to this election, for the last 6 months, I've been working for Medicare Local in the health area, health promotions area. And when the election was called, I had to take some leave without pay. So, it's been a busy 3 weeks. And two jobs that really gave me a good grounding in, I think, some of the issues that people were concerned about in Far North Queensland.
Who was it in the party or outside the party that was an inspiration to you, that you saw as, I'd like to take a leaf out of his book or her book or in that regard? Who?
No, I don't think I can put it down to one particular person, there's an array of people that have influenced me throughout my life. And, my mother's a really tough woman, a strong woman who has been through a lot. She's endured a lot. A lot of women in my life, my grandmother, have really shaped and influenced, I think, my thinking about the world and pushed me in certain directions. My father, my father's 64 this year, and he's worked most of his life. He's still working up to, 2 years ago. And I've always sort of admired that about him. He taught me how important work was, not just to earn a living and provide for your family, but what it did for yourself as a person and your self-esteem, and how you could hold your head up high if you had a job.
Mm. Well, brother, it's certainly testimony to the old saying that you have a dream, you have a goal. You work hard enough, you can get there, you can achieve it. And you're certainly testimony to that, as is Leanne, for sure. Leanne, well, what can we say? The first Murray woman in the Queensland Parliament, eh?
It's pretty incredible that we're, in 2015, and it's taken us this long. But, better late than never, I reckon. So, obviously, I'm sure Billy feels the same way, that when you're the first at something, and let's also put in perspective that Billy has also made history. He's the first member for the Labor Party who's also an Aboriginal man. So, there are lots of aspects of history that we've made over the weekend. But I guess our responsibility in many ways is to make sure that door is kicked wide open, and that there are many more that follow us down this path.
It's just amazing. It is, and what a massive turnaround. I mean, the result for the Labor Party is just unbelievable. We're still waiting. It's a cliffhanger election, but what a massive turnaround!
Absolutely, and the people of Queensland have made it pretty clear. They made it clear in 2012 to the Labor Party, and we got a good kicking as part of that lesson, to say that they do not like to see public assets handed over to the private market. That's how it is. They don't like to see their assets sold or leased for 99 years, which is good as a sale. They just don't like it, and they've said it again this time.
Yeah.
They've been pretty clear about it. And I think, the arrogance of Campbell Newman and his team over the last 3 years, has been a big issue in terms of the kind of conversations that I've had with people across my electorate. They don't like that at all in their leaders.
Mm. Yes. No.
It's a phenomenal amount of people up in Cook. Everywhere I went, Tiger, up here, it was interesting to hear. I heard from a hell of a lot of Queenslanders that told me that they were made to feel like they weren't part of Queensland. And that's the legacy of the last 3 years of this government.
Mm.
You put your hand up to govern for Queensland, and you don't pick and choose where Queensland starts or ends. And
the high end of town, the big developers and stuff were the main ones, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was very pleased to get, really strong vote and an increased vote. If anything, and Leanne touched on this, if our terms as MPs does anything, it actually, I think, encourages a lot more Indigenous people to become involved in the political process. We've seen that, I think, record numbers of Indigenous people coming back to vote. And, they voted under oppression too. The state government introduced voter identification laws for the first time in Queensland electoral history.
Yes.
We had real significant concerns that in a democracy like ours, we should be encouraging people to have a voice. Voting should be an inclusive process.
Yes.
Not a process designed to exclude people. And I think that's what we saw from this government. And they did it, I think, purely because it was a political, they thought it'd give them some sort of political advantage, because Jared Blay, the Attorney General at the time, his own department did a white paper into whether or not voter fraud or whether voter identification was needed in Queensland. And his own department came back and told him that, no, it wasn't an issue. We didn't need to go down that path, that pathway. But, any time a government acts against its own decision or advice, we need to be all worried about that. But it backfired on them because, from what I understand from my scrutineers and people that worked up in the booths, we had a huge turnout of people showing up to vote. And I never took them for granted. I had to go out and earn that vote, just like I had to go into Mareeba and earn the vote. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I think that's probably a very small, look at what Leanne, myself, and look, let's not forget our other sister. Gregory, Cheryl Thompson. I know Cheryl knew that she was up against, a black person fighting, a campaign in an electorate like Gregory was always going to be tough. And I take my hat off to Cheryl, but I think it was really good for the party to have the three of us as candidates. The Great Australian Labor Party is still the party for our people. You know, and I know we've talked a lot of criticism over the modern Labor Party over the last few years about that. And I think it's essentially, you know, now we've got some black voices within the party that need to start driving, I think, some of the policy direction, particularly as it relates to our people.
Most certainly. What do you think that voter ID thing might be something that the party, if they take government, or when they take government, let's hope it's when they take government, not in, no ifs and buts here, it's something what they may look at? Or do you think that might be something that would be kept? How do you feel about it personally? And do you think, yeah, is it something that might go on the agenda for change?
Look, I think, you know, from a perspective of far north Queensland, the remote and isolated parts of the electorate up here in the Torres Strait and the Cape, I go back to what I said before. You know, democracies need to be inclusive, you know, and voting in an election should be an inclusive process. We shouldn't have barriers to people. And it's not just Indigenous people that were marginalised and disenfranchised by this legislation. It was people that are homeless, people that were the elderly, young people, people with disabilities. Like I said, in a democracy like ours, we should be defending and protecting and preserving the right of people to have a say. Mm. And I'd be definitely actively pursuing repealing that legislation and making it a bit more friendly.
Well, I guess the other thing is that we'd need to be, I think we're all very interested to see the fallout of that, if it has had a big impact on voter turnout and what people actually feel about having to take their ID. I know, there were some frustrations about it on the polling booths around around my electorate. Not the same sort of situation that Billy's in with the seat of Cook. Exactly what Billy's saying, that you worry more about those people who don't have access to the kind of ID and then won't turn out to actually vote, and then they've lost their voice in the whole democratic process. And it'd be interesting to see and study the fallout of all of that and whether there is a need to repeal and mm-hmm. have a look at that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of women candidates, I believe, were successful, and even to have Anastasia Palaszczuk as the leader there and incoming premier, we're hoping. That's a good sign, Leanne, the number of females.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, one of the things I think that's been really remarkable about this team of Labor candidates at this election is that there's been a real move towards just having everyday, ordinary people, stepping up and being part of this whole process. So you got, people like Billy and myself, I'm a teacher by trade and, work for Red Cross and all the rest of it. We've had paramedics. We've got, Cheryl Thompson out at Gregory, who is a small business owner and was a former teacher. You know, just everyday people who are not career politicians per se, but have understanding of everyday community issues, and the fact that a lot of women have been in that mix has been, shows a great balance of understanding of, what the community looks like and how the best way to represent the community.
Mm. Now, both of you guys are accountable back through the party. What do you think will be put in place? How will you have that similar situation back to your mob? First Nations people, to be guided by First Nations people as to, like, for example, the stolen wages, Leanne. You were working with the Queensland Council of Unions. It became a policy for the Labor Party. Then they changed it. They turned that around and said, well, if we get in, we're going to open it up again.
Yeah.
What would you have in place with your mob?
Well, ultimately, for me, I mean, I've been elected by the people of the electorate of Alagesta, so that is my number one priority is to serve them. But obviously, I don't step away from the fact that there's a greater responsibility and that people are watching, and that for Billy and I, whether we sort of see ourselves as role models or not, but that's how we're going to be perceived by our community, and there's an expectation. In the stolen wages policy, there were two aspects to that policy that Labor released during the election campaign. One was that the reparations funds would be reopened and that that there'd be $21 million reinstated into the original arrangement. The second part of that policy was that there'd be a commitment to a task force that would be made up of elders who have been engaged in stolen wages discussion over many decades, some bureaucrats and some politicians, to be able to devise the right model for the distribution of the of that reparations fund. You know, that's a great way. Obviously, if Labor wins government, then that policy is the responsibility of the whole Labor caucus, is the responsibility of the whole Labor government. The special role that Billy and I can play, obviously, is one where, you know, we have some of those connections with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, and we can help make sure that that voice is heard inside those processes. I'm sure for Billy, he'll have a whole nother process of engaging with the community that he represents, which is obviously made up of many more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. You know, for me, I've always been engaged with the community more broadly, and, you know, regardless of what role I've played, I've always found ways to ensure that, you know, I've consulted properly, that I have all the information that I need, and that I can, you know, bring that voice into and that perspective into various levels of policy creation.
Mm. What's the process from here for you both? I imagine there must be a gathering or a get together for the Labor Party soon, but when do you start in the new job, say, looking to set up the office and all this sort of things? Well, what's the process from here on for you guys?
Well, technically Billy and I are already members of Parliament, so we've started work. Like, I was at work yesterday, and I've been at work this morning thanking the people of Alcester for their trust and for the great honour of representing them. You know, we're in this kind of period where we're still working out. There's still some counting to be done on some seats and whether we will be able to form government or not. The next step for all of us who have been elected will be a caucus meeting sometime this week when everything's been made clear. And basically from that point we'll be able to, you know, understand our direction for where we're heading during this term. But quite literally, you know, we're all on the ground now. I'm sure Billy's the same.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I started getting calls on Saturday night for meetings for Sunday. So it is, you know, a whole range of people who sort of people are, you know, thanking people. I think what the process is that once the election's been declared, I think within 48 hours, I think we'll be gathering in Brisbane, and then, you know, Parliamentary Services will talk to us about offices and staff and so forth. But, you know, in terms of actually functioning operating as a sitting MP, we are. You know, I was up at 6 this morning and had a meeting in the city at 7. So, you know, there's also the media that you're sort of continually doing. Cook's such a huge electorate. There are a number of local government authorities within the electorate. But there's also, you know, it's one of those electorates where you've got mining interests, you've got cattlemen, you've got pastoralists, you've got tourism operators, you've got the environmental movement. Then you've got our own mob, you know, then you've got the Torres Strait, you know, so, you know, I've sort of heard from the mayor of TI at the moment, Torres Shire, Mayor Pedro Stephen, this morning, and meeting with the Cape York mayors. So I've got a meeting, sort of putting together a meeting where I'm going to be meeting with the complete... all of the Cape York mayors of the Aboriginal communities sometime, hopefully, I think next week. Yeah.
Very good. And your electorate, your job up there is massive, isn't it? I mean,
it's not just a geographical challenge of getting around the electorate. Hmm. You know, Cook's bigger than Victoria, state of Victoria. Yeah. So, you know, in terms of area, but it's also that interest group stuff, you know.
Exactly, yes.
You know, I think, you know, somebody asked me, how are you going to keep everyone happy? I said, well, you know, you're going to have really good relationships, you know. I think, you know, I think people will respect you on a range of levels if you can be open and upfront and honest about things. You know, there's not enough. You're not going to be able to satisfy everybody, but I think it's the way you go about treating people with dignity and respect, and you know, people get a sense of how genuine you are about wanting to help. You know, it's going to be a tremendous challenge, but I knew that when I put my hand up for it.
Yeah. Yes, now that's massive, bigger than Victoria. Mm. I mean, that's going to keep you away from home a bit, I imagine.
And if Leanne becomes a minister, well, then she'll be extra busy.
Yeah, by gee. And Alcester, Leanne, what are the suburbs around that
It's a Brisbane. Yeah, it's a Brisbane seat, you know. So it's sort of quite a long electorate. So at the very top of the electorate, we've got Forest Lake, which is very close to Inala. So it was great to see a lot of old family and friends coming through Booth at that end of the electorate on Saturday. And then it sort of moves down into the Alcester and Parkinson area, and down then to the bottom end, which is in the Logan City Council area, and that is Hillcrest and Boronia Heights, which is where I live. I live down in the Hillcrest area. So it's up and down Beaudesert Road every day, pretty much.
Billy, before you go, you've got another interview to do soon. Take me through Saturday for you. Obviously, you did a hell of a lot of work leading up to it and covering a lot of country, but just Saturday itself, what were your moves on Saturday? You appeared at different polling booths, I imagine. What'd you do?
Our strategy on Saturday was, get up early and set up. So I was up since about 3:30, I think I was, and then by about 5:30 we were off to set up at the different three polling booths. I actually anchored in Mareeba on Saturday. It's our biggest booth, and our strategy was going into the campaign, look, if we, get a decent showing, a wholesome ground there, or get back to what the average Labor vote was in previous years. In 2012, we got annihilated in Mareeba. In 2015, our strategy was to win back the Labor vote, the core Labor vote in Mareeba. And that required me to be there through polling day and pre-polling as well. And we hope that we did enough in the Cape in the last 6 months in the Torres Strait and some of those other regional centres to get back to the level of voter turnout for me in the Leichhardt campaign or improve upon that. So, it was, got up and set up and then spent most of my day circulating through the three booths in Mareeba. And I've got to say, after lunchtime on Saturday, I actually wasn't quite confident. I was kind of waning my confidence a bit. We kind of had we were quietly confident we'd get across the line. And it wasn't until about 7 o'clock, I think, 7:30, that we started realising that things were going our way in a significant way. I think it was 13%, I think, the swing at the end of it, which I think was, it was quite phenomenal, really. But I'm just really pleased to see more and more Indigenous people show up to vote, turn up to vote for us. I think it speaks volumes about, how people feel about their strong Labor message. And the strong Labor message was about, and Leanne touched on it before, this arrogant government, this mean-spirited government, who thought they were going to be in for another three terms, thought that they could be that mean and arrogant to people, and not just Indigenous people, but Queenslanders across the country.
Generally, yes.
And then the Premier of the state coming out and blackmailing people into voting for him and his members. So un-Australian.
Yeah, graceful. Yeah,
so un-Australian. Yeah. It was just, I think it just let a bitter taste in people's mouths. And it showed, and I think it spoke volumes about how out of touch that Premier and that government were with everyday Queenslanders. Like I said, everywhere I went in Cook, I heard from Queenslanders, black, white and brindle, talking to me about how they've been made to feel like they're not part of Queensland. And that gave me a clear message about what the next 3 years should look like for me on the ground in Cook.
Yeah. So what time did you switch the phones off and stuff on Saturday night? Or what time were you allowed to get to bed? what was that like? What was Saturday night like for you? Could you get to sleep? I mean, you'd be pumped full of adrenaline and stuff, man.
I was off to bed at 11:30 because I had to get up next day and mow the lawn because the lawn had been neglected. Back to reality.
Would have went to bed with a smile on your face.
Tremendous jubilation on the night and pride in my team and how what we achieved and the effort we put in. But it was also tempered by the sense of tremendous responsibility and obligation now that both Leanne and I have. The sobering importance of that sort of sunk in and, it sort of balanced it all out. But, nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very proud of the effort that the team put in, trying to coordinate Cape York booths and Torres Strait booths. And it was just a phenomenal amount of people who don't get paid, Harold Ludwig, Timmy McGreen out at Hopewell, James Matasek and Tommy Sebastio and Bam Margera, and just people like that. Bill Eaton out at Mount Molloy, small Mount Molloy. You know, people who put in their time and sat there all day and waved the flag for us. You know, and I think I just can't thank people like that enough. And we won places we never won before. I really appreciate the support we got there.
Yes, no, it's great to see the energy you put into it. Is certainly the effort you made has certainly paid off. So, once again, massive achievement. Congratulations, and we'll talk some more during the course of your term as the representative for Cook. Well, better let you go. You've got another interview coming up.
Thanks very much, I'll catch up with you sooner than later.
Yeah,
and all the best, Tiger. Really. Good to hear from you, as always, mate, and you take care of yourself, and God bless, and thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you.
So proud of you, Billy. So proud of you, mate.
Well
you
done.
You too. Fantastic. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Bill. And that's Billy Gordon, the member for Cook. Oh, gee, it sounds deadly.
It does sound deadly.
A member for Cook. But what a massive electorate. Leanne, I mean, gee, there's a lot of ground to cover. A lot of people, the constituents of Cook. I mean, there's a big mix of people and industries and what have you there. That makes it even more sweeter, I suppose. You know, the win, the result there makes it more sweeter that enough of these people came together and said, "Well, you're our man."
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Amazing. Mm. Billy did an incredible job on the ground. You know, just. Every moment he could, he was on the ground talking to people. It was incredible. He did. Yeah. He really deserves the win. Yeah.
Mm. And for you, you've been working with the Queensland Council of Unions. When does that stop? Has it stopped? In a formal capacity, you know.
And
when does the new role start for you?
Yeah, well, Tiger, I had been working for Australian Red Cross for the last 7 years, and as their national head of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander programs. And, when I decided that I was going to try my hand at being a candidate and run for Parliament, it wasn't feasible for me to stay with the Red Cross. So I had to look for some other work. And just at that time, I was really lucky that the Queensland Council of Unions had some positions going, and I was able to win a position there. Like I said before, for Billy and I, we are technically already the Members of Parliament for our respective seats. Today I'll drop into the office really quickly and have a chat to the boss and work out, how that's all going to work, and hand over to other people and, start focusing on my new role.
Mm. And the boss, Anastasia Palaszczuk,
grew
up in Inala, working class sort of. People. I mean, one of my staff pulled out a photo of her in 1989 with a microphone in her hand addressing a rally of student union group that was proposing to, and they were successful, to put 4ZZZ out of the campus, out of Queensland Uni campus.
Mm.
And there's a very young Anastasia Palaszczuk supporting 3ZZZ. It was 3ZZZ that was in that was based there in Murray Hour. Was a part of 3ZZZ in 89. I think they started there about 84, 85. Anastasia, that was encouraging to see an old photo of her there supporting the local community radio station and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it must be a good feeling to have, firstly, a woman and someone with her background. I mean, her father was a member of Parliament.
That's right. Look, I have to say, Anastasia Palaszczuk has been absolutely, her performance has been absolutely incredible throughout this campaign and over the last 3 years. Who could have imagined 3 years ago when we were reduced to just 7 members of Parliament that we would be in this position, that we're, a whisker shy of potentially forming government. That is down to Anastasia and, of course, the 6 others, or now the 8 others, who've worked so hard as a team to represent Queenslanders in the face of absolute arrogance. And you can't give praise Anastasia enough for the kind of work she's done. And during the actual campaign, once the election was called, she has been steady and strong. the whole time, and she's been amazing.
And the local media, mainstream media, weren't all that friendly either.
Well, yes, they have not been all that friendly. And I don't know if it's, you know, you wonder whether it's just that particular media outlets or, you know, media owners want a particular outcome that will benefit them. That's potentially, that could be it. Or, you know, if it's something to do about being a woman leader, you know, some of the stuff that was just shocking. Just shocking stuff. For sure.
Now, with with Anastasia doing such a fantastic job at the helm and stuff like that, that's very encouraging for yourself as a younger Murray woman coming through the ranks, first time Polly and stuff. Very encouraging for you to have someone like her at the helm.
Yeah, and look, you know, she has been very encouraging towards me as well. You know, so she's been very excited about. You know, her Labor team making history with Billy and myself. And, you know, we had hoped for Cheryl, but we knew it was going to be a huge task out at Gregory.
Where is Gregory?
Yeah, so that's, it has got Warrabinda in it, but it's the central sort of Barcaldine and Longreach, that kind of area.
And goes up towards Woori,
Yeah, so you can imagine when Cheryl Thompson turned up in Woori as their Labor candidate, they were pretty happy.
And the responses from mob, I mean, phone's been ringing and running off the hook, I imagine.
It's been unbelievable, so humbling. You know, when I have to tell you one story, Tiger, and, you know, it just reduced me to tears on Saturday night, but I was handed this little sort of plastic bag, and in this plastic bag was $8.25. And it was from one of the elders who'd been part of the stolen wages working group, you know, who'd been following all the work that we'd been doing in that space. And she had given it to somebody to give to me to help with my campaign, $8.25, who from a lady who had her wages stolen as a young woman and, you know, now a pensioner, and here she was scraping together a few dollars just to contribute. That's how important... That's how important that this achievement has been. You know, it's not a personal achievement. It's not even an achievement for my family. It's something that says to all Queensland that things are changing, that it is possible for Aboriginal people to be part of mainstream politics and that our perspectives are important and our perspectives are able to make better policies almost, you know, for everybody. And to have this $8.25 just amazing, just incredible.
That's sort of support, that level of support.
Yeah, unbelievable. But I've been really lucky, to be honest. Over the last 8 months, you know, I've knocked on thousands of doors and called thousands of people across the electorate. And all along, I've been able to build our volunteer base, you know, to the point where we had over 100 people who had been volunteering their time, people who had never been involved in politics before. I mean, I had aunts and uncles and even members of the Stolen Wages group out there sitting in the terrible sun on Saturday handing out pieces of paper.
Wow.
They'd never been involved in this before and they just really wanted to be part of the whole process. You know, it's that kind of support and the generosity of people has been absolutely incredible. I mean, I had people setting up Friday night once school had closed after 3 o'clock. We had setting up a booth happening straight away. People who sat by those booths overnight protecting them so they wouldn't get torn down. And then all day long in the sun and then turn up for, you know, the party at the end of it all. Unbelievable.
So what did Saturday look like for you? Up early? Did you attend? You were present at a few different booths. What was Saturday like for you?
Yeah, well, we were really fortunate to be able to get around to every one of the booths. We have we only had 13 booths to visit. So obviously, you know, I'm in a very different situation to Billy where I've got, you know, it's a Brisbane seat, so everything's sort of a bit closer together. So, yeah, I managed to get around to all the booths and spend some time in some of the bigger booths where we really needed to see that swing come back. And, you know, like I said, I'd already spoken to many, many thousands of people, you know, one-on-one. And so I'd done that groundwork. And so on the day, it was lovely to meet people who said, oh, yeah, you spoke to me on the phone, or, oh, I remember you down at the shops and that kind of stuff. And I was quite fortunate Anastasia came out to one of our booths for quite some time and helped us hand out some of the how to votes and to speak to some of the local people. And, you know, it's always great when your leader turns up and supports you in that way.
Most certainly, yeah. Mm. What's important for you? What are some of the things you want to take to the cabinet?
So to the caucus, and you know, whichever way we are, whether we're forming government or in opposition, first and foremost, you know, I'm representing the people of Alcester, so I have that responsibility. And there's two major things that, or really three major things that they've told me they're really concerned about. One is jobs and job security. The other one is the rising cost of living. And the next one is about our frontline services. So, you know, we've seen Labor policies come into play and be announced over the last 4 weeks and beyond, really, that are all about those things. And obviously I'll be wanting to see them play out in the seat of Alcester. I want to commit, make sure that I follow through on those commitments to see jobs restored, you know, frontline services restored, and that, you know, we get somehow kind of we wrangle in the cost of living, and in doing that, obviously protect our assets from being privatised. But on the other side, like, obviously I have a strong passion for the stolen wages policy, and you know, I know Billy feels the same way as well. And not just Billy and myself, but many other Labor members now who signed pledges and will want to see that thing, that whole policy play out, and, you know, to see all those commitments actually come to fruition.
Mm. One of the big key things for in the Labor campaign was no selling off of assets. And another thing that seemed to be pretty high in the interests of people generally was the Barrier Reef.
Yes, yeah. You know, I don't think, regardless of how you might vote in the world or how you might see yourself politically, I think everybody agrees that our Great Barrier Reef is something that needs to be protected at all stakes. You know, like, we really need to take care of that. And the dredging of, in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park for the Abbott Point development was just never a good idea, never a good idea. And, you know, people felt strongly about that, very strongly about it. And, you know, I think that also played a part in the swing that we saw. I should add that in Alcester, you know, Billy was talking about his swing of 13%. Well, I had a swing of more than 17%. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, all right. Well, with the possibility of a Labor government, what does that mean for the Abbott Point and Adani Coal Mining Company?
Yeah, well, obviously there's been some policy around the Great Barrier Reef that we will not see dredging happening. So that, if we're able to form government, that will be upheld. Obviously there's more discussion to be had on, refining some of those details about Adani, et cetera. But I don't think any of us anybody is keen to spend taxpayers' money to help a private firm, get their goods from, to create a railway line to get their goods from one end of their, along their manufacturing route, if you like. Mm. I don't think anybody's keen on that.
Unlike the previous government.
Yes, well, that's the thing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And what would you say for mob that might be thinking politics? You know, our people that might be thinking politics. Well, here's a couple of people that are in there. They're making the change. What would you say to our mob?
Well, you know, I've been really fortunate in my life. I had Aunty Kath Walker or Ujibu Noonuckle. She was the first Nations woman to run as a Labor candidate post the referendum in 1967. She put a beacon on the path and said, it's there if you want it. You know, she wasn't successful at the election, but she put the beacon there, and that was amazing. For Billy and I, you know, our job is to put the floodlight on the path. and say it is absolutely possible that we have a place in our democratic processes and our political processes. And, you know, the more that our voices are heard, you know, the more that our perspectives are being brought into the policy creation, the better it is for everybody, really. It's a huge undertaking to put your hand up and get engaged, but I say, you know, it is possible, and to get on board and be part of it.
Certainly is. The phone number here, if anybody wants to make a call, ask a question, make a comment, 38920188. I am talking to Leanne Enoch, the first First Nations woman elected into Queensland Parliament. And it's a massive achievement. Massive achievement. It's Saturday evening. How did things wind up for you? I mean, when did you see the signs that, well, I'm there, I made it?
Yeah, well, obviously the counting started as soon as the booths were closed at 6 p.m. So I purposely sort of took some quiet time during that. I finished at about 6:15 and sort of went home and, you know, had a shower and just spent some quiet time with my family. Just spent some quiet time with my family. And then I think it was about 6:30, 6:45 that I drove into the campaign office and I started hearing it on the radio. And then when we got to the campaign office and all the numbers just started coming in from the booths, it was pretty clear straight away that the swing was on. But to have received 17%, more than 17% swing was beyond our wildest imaginations. But yeah, by 7 o'clock, I declared that I'd won.
Seven o'clock, real early in the piece.
And you know, we won it on primary votes. People put Labor as number one in Algesta. So
yeah,
it's incredible.
Bye, G. Fantastic.
Yeah, but then it was on to the party, of course. So I had family who had come over from Stradbroke Island. Yeah. I had family had come down from Cairns. Some of my cousins danced, you know. We followed all the protocols that you would expect at any event of this nature. We had Auntie Peggy Tideman from Logan come and do an acknowledgement for us, and then my cousins got painted up in, you know, proper way and danced all the dances you'd expect at a celebration. And then, you know, able to address a crowd of, I think there was about 300 people there all up. And so it was and then it was media, of course. We had the ABC and Courier Mail that night, and there was lots of phone calls and lots of celebration. And I think I managed to get home at about 1 a.m. and my phone was still ringing. I saw a missed call at about 1:30. So,
yeah.
And then up early for, up early to try and tidy the house, but mostly to, you know, engage with the media around this historic, absolute historic achievement in Queensland. Absolutely incredible.
Got a caller on the line, Selwyn from Cairns. Welcome to the program, Selwyn. How are you?
Yeah, brother, Leanne and Billy, what more can you say? What are you? What are you doing, too deadly? Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a quick one there, brother. Brother, you know how the federal and state government are out of flavour, and when they won like what they call it, the victory slide, and they were saying it validated all the decision. So does that mean now all the stuff with Noel Pearson and it's more of out of flavour? And look, are we going to look at the real allocation of fund there? Brother, just a quick comment, brother.
Billy had to leave for another interview. He's not with us. But it's certainly an interesting question, and it'd be interesting to see where the party goes on this, or where the government goes on this when they start taking shape, Leanne.
Yeah, well, look, I guess one of the things that that I've always known in the work that I've done is that sometimes things take a little longer, you know. Like, we all know that where we've got very complex interconnected issues, that the result is not necessarily going to be seen within 6 months or within 12 months or within even the cycle of normal funding, you know. I think that's been the biggest concern of our communities right across Queensland and our community organisations, that the funding lasts for this long, but the work actually goes for longer, you know. And so I think it will be interesting around especially the, you know, income management reforms and the education reforms that we've seen in the Cape, you know, if we've given them enough time to actually, you know, to see if they work or not, and then obviously it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out into the future.
Well, there you go, Selwyn. We'll see, see what happens. Hey, thanks for your call, brother.
Thank you, Selwyn.
Yeah, it's one of our regular listeners there through Bumabipra Media in Cairns. And, yeah, a warm cheerio to all the mob in the listening area of Bumabipra Media based in Cairns there. Black Media will certainly be keen to be talking to you and stuff. You'll utilise First Nations Media Network, I imagine, Leanne.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate with all that. So NITV and National Indigenous Radio and yourself, Tiger, of course, has always been a supporter of, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, First Nations people, you know, are stepping into different fields. So that's been amazing. But I have to say the social media aspect of it all has been incredible. We've just, it's been overwhelming, really, the messages, the tweets, the Facebook stuff, the sharing, the excitement, you know, there's a real buzz right across Queensland and across Australia that we've seen this really historic moment happen in our state. And, you know, for, and for Billy and I at, in the same election, to have two Aboriginal First Nations people in the parliament, regardless of whether we form government or not, but to have two First Nations people in the parliament is just incredible. Yeah, so, I mean, I've had people on the phone saying I've been crying all night as a result with the results. And, you know, the pride, the absolute pride that, you know, that we've, that we're seeing that this sort of thing is possible. And what that will do for, you know, the generation of young people who are coming through school and in our communities who are taking on leadership roles, you know, that, like, stand strong. You know, stand strong. These things are possible. And that, you know, when we all support each other, even when we even when we don't agree, you know, and even when we feel disappointed, but when we support each other as First Nations people, we can achieve anything, absolutely anything.
Yes, like you say, just put your mind to it and it can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Education, cultural identity, cultural awareness, they're important in your eyes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a former high school teacher, so, you know, my passion has always been education. I know, and you too, I'm sure, and many of the listeners know that firsthand how important good quality education is, you know, for your future. It really is. It's the most important thing that we can give and the most important gift that we can give to our young people. You know, when you've got great teachers who have been well-resourced, who are, you know, respected and upheld as, you know, the educators that we want them to be, you know, what we get is young people who are engaged, who are, you know, expand their minds, who are creative, and all of those things. And, of course, great teachers who understand diversity of culture are even better. They're even better teachers. You know, they find ways to engage with our young people that ensure that they get the best out of their schooling years and that, you know, they become everything they can possibly be into the future. So, yeah, I'm exceptionally passionate about education in particular.
Good one. All right, Leanne, hey, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. Massive job ahead and massive achievement behind you there. So keep it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And thanks to everybody else out there. Appreciate all the support and encouragement.
Thank you, eh?
Thank you. Bye.